The Voters Education Program, My Role as a Voter, was proudly sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Stiftung.
Good afternoon, dear listeners. Welcome to our program today that I am doing virtually. In other words, that I am doing remotely, given the distance that exists between me and the studio today. And our usual program is My Role as a Voter, or My Vote, My Responsibility. The program is sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation and is brought to you by Eagle FM. And I will be a presenter, Lucas Kaluapa Katenda. As we kick off our today's intervention, I remember we spoke about citizens' responsibility in our last episode. And we spoke about the difference between dictatorship and the democratic, autocratic and democratic. In democratic, it is the people who rule and not the other way around. Those who are serving in the government are doing so at the request of the people. And therefore, they are accountable to the very same people. And that being said and done, the people, namely the citizens, have got an obligation and responsibility to positively participate in the actions of their governments. And what are the responsibilities? We mentioned last time, citizens in democracy, or citizenship in democracy, requires participation. It requires civility and even patience. It doesn't mean all of us will get our way at the same time. Never and not at all. Furthermore, citizenship or citizens in democracy, they recognize that it is not only their rights, but responsibilities too. They know that in democracy, they have to invest the time to study and to analyze what is going on in their government. What is going on in their government? And not only to have time, but also to do a hard work, namely, to participate, not always in political parties, but also in civic societies or civil societies or civic organizations, community organizations. People in a democratic government have to practice what we call vigilance. Vigilance in a way that nothing that they entrust the people to govern them and administer the affairs to go against the welfare and the well-being of the very same people. So now today we will pick up from where we left, because last time we did not only talk about those things. We talk about civic participation. We spoke about paying taxes. We talk about accepting the authority of the elected government, respecting the rights of those who are differing on views, and so on. Now we continue with a statement that goes, there is a saying in free societies, you get the government you deserve. In free societies, in democratic societies, you get the government you deserve. And for democracy to succeed, citizens must be active and not passive. Citizens must not act as though they are simply dull individuals who are unable to participate or to act in any way. Not passive, but active. And when we say active, we are also not talking about reactionary. We must not be reactionary, reacting to everything or waiting for perhaps politicians to bring up something and then we react on that. No, to be active. And how do you become active in your governmental affairs is to be well informed, is to have a knowledge of what is going on in the society. You need to know what's going on. That's why I mentioned that under these episodes, the first thing you need to do is to know. When you know, you can now practice what you have known or the knowledge you have acquired. So, democracy cannot succeed when citizens are passive. The passivity is a disease. It's a disease. It's like a church where you have a pastor, myself being a clergyman, who only reads the Bible, who only understands what's going on in the world of theology, and the people are simply passive followers. We don't need passive followers. We need active participation. The least for a church, and an analogy I have given you, all members of the church need to know the Bible. They need to know the history of the church. They need to know what's going on. They need to be well informed in order also to actively participate. So in politics, our citizens must know, and I say must, not that I'm commanding them, but they themselves need to know this must and say it to themselves that I must activity, the tendency we have in Africa today is that of reactivity. We react most of the time. It's a reactionary tendency. We react, and we don't have to react. We need to act. How do you act, especially in the case where the government is not performing? You have the stick. The measurement is really to see if the work you have given these people were carried out. If not, you have to say, my friends, when we go to the next elections, we are not going at all to whatsoever elect any person who is not performing. And that is activity. You don't have just to say that, it is just fine. People are what. We don't want to create more problems. No. You have to be active. You have to be active in a way that you take serious action against non-performing officials. This is what it means when you say you have to be active in your government. You need to be very, very active. Now, because they know that the success or the failure of the government is their responsibility, no one else. Any government which fails the people are themselves to blame because they don't take action against the non-performing. People who are elected to serve us must be able to say, yes, we need really to perform because the society is not going to tolerate any nonsense from us. Let us do the work. Let us create. Let us be transparent as much as we can. Let us tell the society, this is how much we have. This is the money we have. This is the things we have. This is how we are going to use this money. And please don't punish us if we are not doing this, because this is all you guys have entrusted us with. So at least people must dance to the tune of the society, of the people, of the citizens. It's not the other way around. It's not the other way around. Okay? So, in turn, government officials must understand that all citizens should be treated equally, and that bribery has no place in the democratic government. Okay? So, in a democratic system, citizens know this. Know this. In case there is a need for it, know what I'm going to say now. The following statement: in a democratic system, people that are unhappy with their leaders are free. Free. There was a question in the previous program. What should people do when there is non-performance? They are free and peacefully. Please take note. Not forcefully, not violently, not clandestinely, not unpatriotically, not through betrayal or deception of the sovereignty, for instance, of the Namibian society and the state, but peacefully, I will add, honestly, faithfully, patriotically, loyally, they can make a case for change. You can make a case for change. That's colleagues. We are not going to wait for the next elections. Let us take action now. We have seen it done in other countries. In Europe, it happens quite a lot. In Britain, a few months ago, we have seen three prime ministers in office. Boris Johnson, this lady, Truss Rose or something like that, I can't remember her name properly, and then Rishi Sunak. No election took place, only that the people themselves in Britain took up the case on themselves and punish any person who is not performing or who is seen or objectively or subjectively, mostly it is objectively, to betray the trust that the people have in him or in her, or in her, that we must take action. And they do, the English people do. In France some years ago they did. In South Africa they have done so. I don't know whether it was the best idea, whether there were cases or not, but as we speak, Thabo Mbeki didn't leave office gracefully. Jacob Zuma didn't leave the office gracefully, and now knives are out for His Excellency Ramaphosa. So the point is, for you as Namibians, if you are not happy, if you are not happy, and then when I'm saying when you are not happy, I'm not saying two or three people. I'm saying when the majority are not happy with the way the government is conducted. And when I say the majority, I mean the majority of the ruling group or the governing party, the majority of those in parliament, the majority of those in the National Assembly, the majority of those in every sector of the society, including the forces. If they are not happy, you can peacefully, underline that, peacefully, not violently, not forcefully, peacefully make a case for change. And how do you do so? The Namibian constitution is very clear on the referendum. Even when the people are no longer interested in anything or in any person, they can do so via a referendum, asking the society whether they want this or not, yes or no, if you like. So, if that is not the case, if that is not the case in democratic society, you as a society must come to your senses and on your beautiful sense of your mind and say, I am going to vote these leaders out of office. I'm going to choose someone else, in other words. Because there is no vote, there is no provision for you to say, go out, go out, go out. You just get a choice. Some other people are also going to participate. And then you will say, okay, last time I elected so-and-so, I voted for so-and-so, I chose so-and-so to be our leader. I am now going to change my mind. This time around, I'm going to vote for a different person. And if a majority of you go in the very same direction, the same person who was in office the last term will lose. And by so doing, you have outvoted them. You have voted them out because you vote somebody else. Therefore, they cannot be in office. So that's the beauty of election. You just vote for somebody else. When you vote for somebody else, then this person who is non-performing will learn a lesson. And even the one you have voted for, they must know that they must not think that, okay, the society is now voting for us. They will just vote for us again. You warn them that we vote for you. We don't know how you are going to perform, but we vote for you because we are either tired of these people or you have given us a good promise. So we give you the chance to prove yourself. And if you are not performing, you will suffer the same fate. We will outvote you. We will vote another person again in the next elections. So this is what we mean when we talk about elections. Why citizens must know their rights. This is your role. Huh? This is your role as a voter. Okay? Then democracies need more than an occasional vote from their citizens to remain healthy. In other words, we must not just make it as a regular vote, it's a regular election. There must be some other mechanisms in place between elections so that people must know that they are accountable to the people. We must not just think that, okay, this we will, by the way, we will just do what we want to do. And after 5 years, by the time 5 years come, I will have acquired my things. I will have accumulated wealth and so on. There must be no opportunity for people to steal between elections. Not at all. Okay? For a democratic society to remain, to be healthy, and to remain healthy, there must be occasional votes. So that there is attention. The society, democracies need steady attention. They need time and the commitment of a large number of citizens who in turn look to the government to protect their rights and freedom. So the society, the large number of the society must be able to say, hey, wait a minute. What you are doing is not good. And we are going to take actions really against you. I remember that in Britain, members of British Parliament just resigned because the Prime Minister didn't want to resign. So people just resigned themselves that if you are not resigning, we are going to resign. And he didn't know how to act. So the loyalty of members of political parties who are in parliament, who are in the governance of our society, they must not just be loyal, they must also be committed to the provisions of the Constitution and to the promises made, so that when we look up to them to take action, then they can take action without fear or without favor for the sake of the society. And remember, democratic institutions are not there to promote anarchy, are not there to promote a banana state, are not there to promote lawlessness. No, they are there to promote good governance, rule of law, transparency, accountability, and that, and all that you will need if you know what I mean. So, citizens in a democracy join political parties and campaign for candidates of their choice. In a democratic society, citizens are free to join a political party and to campaign for a particular candidate. In democracy, it's the nature of democracy. You as citizens, you can't sit passively and wait for people to fill the candidates for you. It doesn't work like that. You have to indicate that we want so and so to be our leader in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years or so. You must be active in identifying the right person, the right candidate, a man and a woman of integrity, a man and a woman of a great faculty, a wise man with local understanding, with good international standing, a man, a woman with great diplomatic skills, a man and a woman with a clean understanding of economy and economical growth and moral development of the society. You need a person whom you want. You put up conditions and qualifications, and you identify within your political parties, within your societies, that no, in this country at least, the person so far who can really help us is so and so. So you don't sit passively. If you sit passively, people will pick up fools and the charlatans and the demagogues and the clowns to be your leader. And then you don't blame anybody when things are not going the way they should go, because you did not participate in making sure that we have the right candidate for the office, whether of the president, of the National Assembly, of the Regional Council, of the Local Authority Council, and all of those elected officials. You have to make sure we have the correct candidate, the right candidate. In the meantime, in Namibia, allow me to be sarcastic a bit, you are the greatest leader when you don't ask questions. You are the greatest leader when you are passive, not when you are active. When you are passively following, then you are good. When you sing songs and clap hands when politicians are talking, even when they are speaking nonsense, and you clap hands, then you are patriotic. And this is not healthy for our democracy. This is not healthy, not only for democracy, but for economic growth, because only charlatans will be appointed as leaders of the government. And instead of doing the work, they will be taking photos of the food they are eating. They will be taking photos of the women they are proposing, or the men who are proposing them, just to be sarcastic, but real. We need people who are serious with the work. Namibia needs a lot of work when it comes to developmental agenda. We need men and women of seriousness, who are enthusiastic, who are diligent to do the work. But how do they get ready for these things when the society is passive instead of being active? So, now, I just said you are free to join the political party. You are also free to not only to join the political party, but you are also free to leave the political parties if you so wish. You are also free to leave the political parties. That no, I am not going to, I am not going to be in these political parties anymore. Those are fundamental freedoms that are already enshrined in the Namibian Constitution. You can join and you can disjoin if you like, and you can leave any political parties. That's why you have things like freedom of movement, freedom of association, freedom of political parties, and so on. You are free if you want to change the political homes. It is indeed a freedom. Now, they accept the fact that their party may not always be in power. There are some people in this country who would think, not only in this country but elsewhere in Africa, where people would think that their party must be in power forever. It is not always the case that your party will always be in power. Sometimes your party will lose. And when your party will lose, it means you have to accept that somebody else has taken over. Then another statement, very important here, says they are free to run for office or serve as appointed public officials for the time. Citizens, all citizens, okay? There is a tendency to say that there are some professions, obviously, that are discouraged to participate in direct political parties. Example, the nursing profession, those are in the uniform, the soldiers, the police people, generally also the clergymen and women, the pastors, those people are expected to serve all the people, irrespective of the political affiliation. When a person is sick and comes to hospital, it is ethical for the nursing person, for the medical person, to treat the person without looking at looking at what political parties they come from or they represent and so on. But there are some isolated instances and cases where you have medical doctors who are politicians, where you have nurses who are politicians, where you have soldiers who leave the force and become politicians, and you have some pastors who also serve as politicians. It happens. But generally, it is held as ethical for some of the professions not to participate in politics just directly. Not only do they have to run for the office and to be appointed for a period of time, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, politically speaking, as a regional councillor, as a local authority councillor, as a member of parliament, as a member of that commission, or whatever the case may be. Citizens, when we say citizen here, we are not counting which who belongs to where, except those exemptions I have always mentioned, that if you are part of these groups, you are ethically required to be neutral, to be impartial, if you like, in political landscape. But obviously you will vote for the person of your choice, but you don't advocate for this or that person. They utilize a free press to speak out on local and national issues. This is what I'm doing now. As a citizen of Namibia, I'm using the Free Press. And thank goodness, with all the complaints we have about Namibia, Namibia has press freedom. To a certain extent, our press freedom is granted. You can write anything in Namibia. You can write lies in Namibia. And nobody so far has been persecuted or arrested or whatever for using free speech in the press or something like that. And those are the credit we need to give to our society. Where credit is due must be given. And that is why I am hereby using not the state broadcaster, but a private broadcaster, a private press, to air the views on a very important matter, the role of a voter. If you know what I mean, utilize the free press, the electronic media, the print media, even social media, to speak out on the local and the national issues. Yes, there are some people who think on some issues, people must not talk. No, you are free to talk on all matters, including the sensitive issues. You are free to talk for or against. And the majority will always win. But then when the majority win, the debate will continue about the minority rights. And this is the problem that we have in Namibia today. Not only in Namibia today, but in the world today, concerning the roles of the minority people and who are the minority. So in Namibia today, we don't know properly who are the minority and who decide that they are the minority. Why do we call them minority? Is there a scientific reason? Is there a social reason, a religious reason, political reason, economic reason? A physical reason to designate some people as minority? In Namibia, we have not come, as far as I can remember, we have not come and created a platform and speak out. Colleagues, this is Namibia. Majority people are, when we talk about economy, when it comes to religion, majority are Socially, the majority are Educationally, the majority are The minority are in this area, I don't think we have created a platform to be clear who is a majority and who is a minority. So far we know the ruling party, politically speaking, we know the ruling party that is now SWAPO is the majority because they are the ruling. Hence, they are ruling. They are ruling because they are the majority. They receive the majority vote from people. And for that reason, it's only the majority we know. And the minority parties are those who have some seats in parliament or in local authority councils or in regional councils, or those who are not represented in any way or in any form or shape in the government. But is there any other minority? Yes, who are they? Yeah, you have the San community, for instance. You have the recent issues of LGBT. Have we come together and designate certain people as minority, and therefore they need protection from what? From what danger? What danger do they face? Do they face existential threat? Is anybody threatening them, that willing to kill them or to eliminate them as people? Or what is the danger? We need to come to that, because when the majority gets the the government, they must always consider the minority. But so far, in my view, we have not identified who are the minorities. We have not understood what makes one a minority, you see? But there are some people who will identify themselves as a minority. Yeah. Myself, I don't want to be a minority in my country. I want to be a citizen. I don't care whether I belong to which group or religiously or politically or tribally, for as long as I am a citizen. For me, citizenship plays many important and critical role rather than who is minority, who is what. But obviously, there are those definitions that we need to sit as a nation and come up with a proper definition and the list of minority groups and the dangers the minority groups are facing and how those dangers can be eliminated so that nobody must feel threatened or must feel existentially deterred or something like that. So they can join labor unions, community groups, business associations. Okay. So citizens in a democratic society are free to join what? Labor unions, trade unions, in other words, to start trade unions, workers to organize themselves, to raise their voice on issues they feel threatened, they feel not taken care of, they feel things are not fair for them, they are free to do so. In a way, these trade unions have some form of regulation, especially in the law. Your trade union will be recognized if you have this number of people in this institution. If all people in the institution belong to this number of organization, then this organization can be regarded as the bargaining trade union or things like that. Trade unions must not be political parties. Members of the working force and the working class must be free to choose the trade union or to form the trade union, the labor union, that they want. That they want. It's a demo. This is your right. This is your role as a voter. You know already this. And community groups and influence. You don't sit actively. I mean passively. You sit actively. You actively participate in the affairs of the society. You join the labor unions, you join community groups, you join business associations so that your voice can be heard from that angle or from that angle or from that angle. Okay? In other words, they are free to run for office. They are free to utilize a free press to speak. And they are also free to join labor union and community groups and associations and make their voice known. It's not always that you have to join a political party. You can join a labor union, you can join a community group, you can join a faith-based organization, you can join a business association, and still make your voice known and still consider yourself as a lobbying. We don't have to be politicians, especially for those of us who are not called to be politicians. If you think you are not called to be a politician, then you can say, okay, well, I am not a good politician. I may want to join politics because I know everybody in Namibia wants to join politics because politics is now lucrative in terms of salaries and so on and so on. You can join political parties, you can start one, and you can win the majority and so on. But for those of us who may want but are not good politicians, we will not make a good politician for some reasons. You can join community groups. You can form community groups and still speak as a responsible citizen. You can also join private and voluntary association organizations that share the interests, whether devoted to religion, voluntary associations. In Namibia, there is what we call voluntary association, a provision. You freedom of association, freedom of what? You are free to choose any organization and join it voluntarily and leave it also voluntarily. Private voluntary organizations that share their interest, whether they sell such voluntary associations are religious, like churches. Churches are faith-based organization, but in terms of classification, they are voluntary associations. You join it if you want, and you leave it if you want. Nobody has got the right to say you stick into that organization if you think it doesn't represent your interest anymore. So you are free to join the religion. And if you have the interest different from this religious group, you can leave if you want. There are people who have left churches altogether and they don't want to be associated with a church because they have found out that they are gods themselves or whatever, something like that. Well, you are free, you are a citizen in Namibia. There's such a freedom. So, or to ethnic culture, okay? Depending on your culture, maybe you want to join the traditional authority. You're an academic study belonging to a university or to the world of academia, writing articles in the newspapers, and speaking, making analysis, and so on, you can still make your voice known. Sport, you can be a sports person in the marathon, in soccer, in volleyball, in boxing, in racing, in horse racing, and so forth. You are free. The arts, could be music, it could be visual arts, literature, writing and reading, neighborhood improvement. There are some people who join the neighborhood watch organization, for instance, for the people in our communities to curb crime. Some people create a neighborhood network, like in the neighborhood watch or the men and the women and men network. All these things you can join. International student exchange, you can also participate on international level, and a hundred of other activities you can join. And all this group, no matter how close to or remote from the government, contribute to the richness and the healthy of their democracy. So in other words, my friends, as we come to the close of the program, we are not all going to be ministers. We are not all going to be presidents. We are not all going to be members of parliament. We are not all going to be members of regional councils. We are not all going to be members of local authority councils. We can as well participate in the building up of our democracy between the votes. When the vote comes, you go and vote. When the vote is over, you continue to participate in the civic affairs of the society through different means and through different other organizations. This is exactly what we need to do as voters. I hope this has helped us today to understand just a little bit of the role of the voters as responsibilities of the citizen. We will talk more about the rule of law. What are the things you need to know? We talk about peaceful, not violently, not forcefully, not unpatriotically, not in a way that you are sabotaging or clandestinely bringing our territorial integrity or our constitutional sovereignty into question or into disrepute, but you do it constitutionally, understanding that you are building a society that is democratically healthy, that is democratically sound, and where all the people are free to live and exist. Nobody must face existential threat in their own countries. Now, with that being said, I am Lucas Kalwapa Katenda, bringing the program to the close. My role as a voter, sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation. I will see you in the next week as we delve into the knowledge, the application of the rule of law. Citizens need to observe the rule of law. The government needs to observe the rule of law. I thank you. Until next time, it's a goodbye.
The Voters Education Program, My Role as a Voter, was proudly sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Stiftung.